This is Pure Decking, show number 313, the day before Friday the 13th. Buy your lottery tickets, people. This is Pure Decking for Thursday the 12th of something. The show about stuff that interests me, information security, pointing out how rigged the game is, and reminding you that tomorrow is Friday the 13th. Buy your lottery tickets while wearing a hockey mask. I wrote that earlier, and it was a lot funnier when I wrote it. But
I thought it was great.
Yeah. I also had the show notes and the stories on the wrong monitor, so I'm sitting there trying to switch that up in the middle of the intro. I'm Orps, and tonight I am drinking Bullet Rye. And I have Are you? What are you drinking?
I am drinking water, which is formerly ice.
Living dangerously. Be careful.
In Australia? You don't have that yet.
What, water
or ice? Technology has not eluded us yet.
Oh, okay. I figured since it's, 7 million degrees out there. Oh, it's winter
it's
there.
Goddamn cold, dude. I'm in a trench coat.
No, you're confusing Australia for Texas again.
Yeah.
I actually had was sent a fantastic picture today. Earth, then in about the position of Mercury, Texas, the sun.
Yeah, that's about right.
Syntax, what are you drinking?
I grabbed the closest bottle, which was
formaldehyde.
What is this? Graham's 2011 vintage port.
Oh,
good ton. It's a good tawny.
Nice. And Madman is also here.
Yes, I am. I'm also drinking. I'm drinking monkey shoulder on the rocks.
I thought about grabbing monkey shoulder, but the rye bottle was closer. Anyways, I'm worn the fuck out. Work's kicking my ass. Oh, shit. Anyways, right, stories. No stories. I have those.
We
know how to do a show. We've only been doing this for like 8 years. Fuck's sake.
Was there news? Things happened?
No, it's all CIA conspiracy. They're just making shit up and putting it on the internet. The world population is like 12 people. So the rest are like, all internet conspiracy.
I said that last week.
Got 11 guys, one girl. What a sausage fest.
Oh, we're going to be extinct.
Crack is whack.
Anyways, obviously I've switched back to the better soundboard button pad because I just got tired of fighting with the other ones, so we will be annoying with the sound effects again. That said, first article is from the BBC, and RU sent me this one. U.S. singer Katy Perry, the most followed user on Twitter, and Lady Gaga lost about 2.5 million followers. Barack Obama went down 2.1 million. Twitter said it had taken the decision due to its ongoing global effort to build trust.
Too late.
It follows renewed scrutiny over fake news and users on social media. The new measures mean that any user whose account is locked for unusual activity, such as being blocked or sending unusual volumes of tweets, or who did not respond to a prompt to verify their identity, would be excluded from Twitter follower counts. The head of the company's legal team, Vijay Gadhi, said that most accounts would only lose around 4 followers as a result of the new measures. But she warned that more popular accounts would experience a more significant drop. Nowhere has this been more true than Twitter's own account on the platform, which lost 7.7 million followers. Twitter argued that the recent move was aimed at building users' confidence and reflected the fact that follower accounts are a visible feature on the platform. In January, New York's chief prosecutor said the state had launched an investigation into a company which allegedly sold millions of fake followers to social media users. So, though, as amusing as it is in losing, you know, hearing these people EPs get shrunk, why is the New York chief prosecutor doing investigations into people selling fake followers on social media? I wasn't aware that that was, like, in any way a crime.
I don't think the state prosecutor is really well hinged at the moment. Just saying.
The only way that I could see some sort of law getting involved would be somewhere like YouTube, maybe, where like you get paid because of how many followers you have, something like that, right?
Well, it's obviously a violation of the terms of service, but I mean, I just don't see this. How is this even on the radar of law enforcement? I mean, shouldn't they be like doing something, you know, I don't know, arresting protesters or something?
And they could actually try to work on proving Trump collusion. That could be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the soft push.
I don't
like, okay, they start with this. It's really nothing for us, but they start cracking down on really minor cyber crimes.
Either that, or it's, you know, learn how to prosecute crimes for dummies book. And they're like, start with something small and inconsequential. Once you figure out how to do that, then we're going to move up to something a little more, maybe a speeding ticket. And then, you know, eventually.
User in your channel timed out.
Aww.
User entered your channel.
Yay.
Internet problems, madman?
Apparently.
Yeah. And then, you know, eventually, by, you know, 2212, they will be maybe attempting to combat crime. Judge Dredd style.
Yes.
that escalated quickly. I like what Cykros,
like 200 years.
I like what Cykros put in the IRC. Not for Trump, just to maximize the chaos.
mean, yeah.
Yes.
It's Operation Confuse the City. shit, and there's Madman jumping out of the IRC. So, Madman, did you figure out what that button does?
Apparently, I hadn't hit a button, damn it. My computer hates me.
Windows is helping.
Oh, no, it did do an update.
I'm helping! Yay!
I didn't know that I could log into Windows with my phone, or my computer knew that I had a phone, but apparently it does.
It's just making an assumption.
Was there misspellings on that site? Did it come in as an email? Did you click the button?
I didn't click the button. It wasn't a website. It was a Windows pop-up from my OS, which scares me that I have to worry about that being bugged or a scam now.
So if they're doing that, I'm like, okay, cool. We need to do some research because this makes phishing so much easier.
Well, I mean, for fuck's sake, you know, Windows is pushing software under your machine and reinstalling shit that you don't want. I mean, this was malware-level behavior a few years ago, and now it's a feature of the operating system. I'm just
tell me about it. This used to be malware, and now it's a feature.
This is why, at least for my computers, I keep the number of Windows installs to a minimum, and most of them are in virtual machines where they can't hurt anybody.
Where they just can't hurt anyone. But
back to the discussion, as I was saying, I guess when I was cut out, I think Syntax is right. I can see YouTube getting behind this, because fake YouTube accounts, you can monetize if you have so many followers. I don't think Twitter really has a case, or anyone could go after Twitter unless someone somehow used their massive Twitter following to get a contract with, I don't know, MTV News or Sky News or Fox News or name whatever, and get a show out of it. But then it would be possibly whatever network hired them suing them for falsifying their credentials.
Well, now,
I don't know if it would even move into criminal at that point.
But if you, as a quote-unquote fake YouTube account, amass a massive following and to the point that, you know, you can get a job at a traditional media company, I don't think that's a fake account anymore. I think you give up your real name and start using the fake one as the real name at that point.
Oh, no,
wouldn't
not
you?
My fake account getting that. It's my real account, me buying enough fake people for my real account.
Yeah.
Because if I have, I don't know, 4 million Twitter followers, that's, I think, more people than Lacey Green had when MTV decided to pay her for being a YouTuber.
Yeah. I wonder if they regret that now that she's not as crazy as she used to be.
I don't even know who this person is.
Amazing. It's amazing how you can change your mind after you get a good dick and, you know.
Maybe. Is that what happened to her?
Yeah, I think so.
If I would call Chris Reagan a good dicking.
I don't. I
wouldn't know about but these things,
went,
but.
She went from rabid feminist to like, holy shit, what did I do? That's the only thing I think is a good fucking hate fuck happened.
Well, I mean.
And he's like, you're not a feminist
she,
anymore.
She even did a pretty decent interview with Crowder, which was not terribly uninteresting to listen to. So it's like, what the fuck happened there? So.
I don't know. You know, people are entitled to change their mind.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's awesome that she's moderated and actually having, you know, and not just screaming at people, but I just.
No, yeah, I don't care for the woman either way. The only reason I have had anything derogatory to say about her is because of the shit she was throwing out of her mouth.
Yeah.
Now that she's not spewing shit, I don't care either way.
How do we get on that one again?
The whole social media buying fake account thing.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So is that enough of that? We ready to move on? I mean, we're getting pretty far into the rabbit hole there.
I'm just looking up these people like Chris Reagan and yeah.
Dude, look up Lacey Green and drug use.
Oh no. Lacey Green and the gender spectrum.
Is that with the one where she literally makes a YouTube video claiming everything's problematic? She later tried to say that video was satire, but it sure didn't look like satire, at least the first bit of it I watched before I'm like, nope, and turned it off.
Wow.
I do kind of want to see them double check Obama's accounts again.
he looks
sure, it's
2.
Only 2 million.
Notice they didn't throw out a number for Trump.
Oh God, Trump's all real.
That's just it, right? Is if
and
he had lost
everyone wants to see the train wreck, dude. Everyone wants to see the train wreck.
I know, but that's my point. Is as much as they love bagging on Trump, if he had lost a whole bunch of followers, wouldn't they have put it in there?
Yeah,
okay. Oh, definitely.
Well,
that's the thing, though. He probably didn't lose fuck all. He maybe lost 4 or 5.
So and they resubscribed a week later.
I'm throwing my lot in with Madman. You don't go to NASCAR to watch cars turn left.
That's
you go
true.
For the crashes.
So I would be willing to bet that he actually lost quite a few, just because I think everyone, like, I had 12 and I lost one. So, like, and I knew the person personally. I digress there. So just before the election, Twitter was literally on the verge of bankruptcy. Like, they were getting ready to fold. They figured they had a year maybe left before, you know, they were going to go under and that was going to be it. No more Twitter. Like, they were going to go the way of Vines, which are dumb. So
are Vines still a thing?
No. The website went under a couple of years ago, I think.
Tell how closely I follow that shit.
Yeah. So when Trump got elected, he literally saved Twitter. Like, it became back into the forefront. People started using the platform again, because before it was hackers porn stars. And that was
journalists.
Yeah.
Activist journalists.
Yeah, and some of those, right? But, I mean, your two biggest populations were the hackers and the porn stars, because you can use a fake name. So now that everyone's using fucking Twitter again, they're not going to, like, punch their you know, star Jesus in the face by going, you lost a million accounts.
No, I figured the reporter would have done that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's true. That could be it. Or Twitter just didn't publish those numbers and were like, no, make sure that he doesn't, like, we can pretend all day long, just put the number in there that he's got, whatever. Because, you know, if you have access to the back end, you can make it say anything you want.
Yeah, I guess that's the case. All right, let's do the next one here. This is from Wired.com. The Federal Communications Commission has reportedly dropped a proposed change in how it handles complaints that critics argued could have left consumers with fewer avenues to resolve problems with telecommunication carriers like AT&T and Verizon. The agency is scheduled to vote Thursday on proposed changes to the complaint process, but according to the Washington Post, the most controversial changes have been removed from the draft. The FCC offers two ways for people to complain about billing problems, privacy concerns, and other issues with telecom carriers. Formal complaints cost $225 to file and work a bit like court proceedings, but the commission also offers an informal complaint system, which is free. Critics said the proposed change would have left the informal complaint system toothless, forcing consumers to spend the time and money of the formal review process if they wanted the FCC to take action on their complaints. One reason that the critics saw ill will behind the proposal, the FCC last year declined to release the full text of informal complaints it received about net neutrality ahead of the agency's vote to jettison those rules in December. The Obama-era rules banned broadband providers from blocking or discriminating against particular internet content. The FCC highlighted the lack of informal complaints about net neutrality, or the lack of formal complaints about net neutrality in support of its decision to roll back the rules, but did not address the informal complaints. In a statement, Commissioner Jessica Rosenworcel, the FCC's only Democratic commissioner, called the proposed change to the informal complaint process bonkers. And that is in quotes. No one should be asked to pay $225 for this agency to do its job, she said. No one should see Washington close its doors to everyday consumers looking for assistance in a marketplace that can be bewildering to navigate. A spokesperson for Rosenworcel said earlier Wednesday that she was talking with other commissioners about a change to the proposal ahead of Thursday's meeting. The rest of it's just about the politics of the FCC. So I don't immediately see something wrong with the idea of charging for the complaint process. 225 seems a bit steep, though, because
I think they should drop it to 25.
Yeah, there you go. That way you don't get people who are like writing spam bots and shit like that. But
yeah,
you know, it's not so crazy expensive that most people aren't going to do it, because I look at that and go, $225, and I could do some really more interesting things with $225 than file an FCC complaint.
But especially since you don't know it's going to do anything.
Exactly. It's like, I'll go buy the bourbon. Thanks. I mean,
but you think about what would have to be shown on TV for you to make a complaint to the FCC?
Oh, my complaint to the FCC wouldn't be about something shown on TV. My internet connection is regulated by the FCC a bit. So let's say we'll crap on Comcast because they're Comcast. Comcast decides to change their billing, but doesn't announce it to me until after I get a bill for $2 million because they decided to start charging me by the byte if I'm playing a video game. That's a complaint that you take to the FCC.
Actually, yeah. I was thinking cell phone companies, but
you can do cell phone too if you want that.
Yeah, it's not usually content. It usually has to do with billing, or
if
they decided to do something really dumb, like run a several like a tens of watt signal through your through the botanical gardens or through your yard, and it killed all of your trees.
Or they're
You
have to be broadcasting.
I thought the FCC was like our sort of consumer thing.
They do that too. They do the TV
FCC
complaint
covers
thing
the
too.
The whole thing, where our censorship stuff just covers the TV fair practices for TV, and then we have the Fair Trade and Practices Act that would come under consumer lock, if you know.
Yeah,
but we have two different departments. You have one. I've got it. We can move on.
In this country, it's really kind of hard to go after someone for content.
Yeah,
on
your freedom
platforms.
Of expression.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's broadcast TV, you could actually do the content complaint. But in this day and age, it's basically got to be hardcore porn to get somebody to do that.
Yeah,
or a whole bunch of busybodies who are trying to get a TV show off the air.
Yeah, or prostitution, because, I mean, the whole SOSTA thing.
Pirate radio with broadcasting hookers.
Yeah.
Cyberpunk future is going to be great. Janet Jackson's nipple, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Well, it's not like anybody really wanted to see that anyways, so.
I'm actually surprised at how fucking insane the FCC goes over a non-licensed radio station.
It's encroaching on their turf. Yeah. They get to control that. It has nothing to do with effectiveness or how far you're reaching. It's totally ego.
Yeah, it's state controlled. Okay. We are the only one that will allow, you know, the listen license or the speak license. And this is why YouTube's totally crushing mainstream media. Everybody's voice counts now.
Well, it's, you know? I mean, it's like printing money. I mean, only the government's supposed to do that. That's why they go nuts over Bitcoin.
Well, I don't know about you, man, but with the internet and everything like that, I become twice as productive when I want to learn something.
Because for damn sure.
I can just stick in an audio podcast of whatever I want to learn, and then go do something else.
And a lot of professors throw their shit up there for free, dude.
Well, I was watching Jordan Peterson's stuff 2 years before the guy even made a complaint about, before he became famous, because I was into that sort of content. Like, Morps, every time you go to a conference and you throw up links of some of the talks, I just whip them through YouTube to MP3 and smack them in the headset.
Yeah, but you were having fun trying to catch me at conferences too, so.
Yeah, the back of your head.
Like, I know the back of that head. Oh, there it is. Fucking Morps. There he is.
I got off track. Sorry.
And this is why you guys don't know what I look like.
Learning stuff on Twitter. Not Twitter. YouTube.
Yeah. The FCC's got no control over that. When you think about it, all the censorship boards in all the countries, be it the UK, Canada, Australia, have got no control over what people do online right now.
And I think it frightens them.
It frightens the fuck out of establishment, man. And this is linking back to the beginning story of why the New York governor, the New York police commissioner is going after Twitter fake followers. Because you can manipulate.
That's actually really interesting thing to think about there.
I was just bending it back, you know?
Yeah.
Just, you can really, if you want to cause outrage, say in a borough race, say it's just a local councilor, two councilors struggling against each other, but one councilor has got some tech savvy dude on his side, and he just fucking throws an email over to India. Next thing, they've got 100,000 Twitter followers all fucking slamming the candidate.
Yeah.
You could really, really move things.
No, I get you.
Seeing links where links may not be.
I don't know that they've considered it quite that much. I think it's more just, something they can go after that's easy. But anyways.
Well, test cases to set precedent?
That could definitely be the case. That could absolutely be the case. Let's do the next one. This is from The Verge. Hackers caught selling access to airport security systems for $10. That's about what the FCC ought to charge. Let's see. Researchers at McAfee's Advanced Threat Research Team have discovered that credentials for systems at major international airports are being sold on the dark web for just $10. Airport admins verified the authenticity of the credentials, which would have allowed control of systems linked to security and building automation systems, and they resolved the issue after being informed by McAfee. No, they didn't. They just changed the passwords. They didn't resolve how they got out. I guarantee it, because they don't know. Researchers withheld the name of the airport for confidentiality reasons. Anybody want to bet it was Atlanta?
I'm going Midway. It was Midway.
The stolen credentials were for the airport's remote desktop protocol, RDP. They have RDP exposed to the internet, you fucking fools.
Wow. Oh, so that just means someone did a Shodan search.
Which allows employees to work through specific computers outside the local network. RDP credentials are perfect for the perfect opening for cyber criminals, which has led to a thriving dark market where stolen credentials are bought and sold. For years, malware strains like the SamSam ransomware have used RDP credentials to compromise systems. It's still unclear how the airport credentials were obtained, although McAfee researchers suspect the attackers used brute force, simply guessing random passwords en masse until a login was successful. Open RDP on the internet with no monitoring. The fuck? Brute force attacks on RDP login portals are common, often aided by easily available tools. RDP administrators have been slow to adapt techniques like two-factor authentication and rate limiting, which could have prevented attacks like this one. The airport wasn't the only sensitive site with an RDP problem. We also came across multiple government systems being sold worldwide, McAfee's post reads, including dozens of connections linked to healthcare institutions, from hospitals to nursing homes to suppliers of medical equipment. Whoops.
I bet if we get McAfee some more cocaine, he'll figure out who did it.
Well, the sad part is he has nothing to do with that company anymore. It's been bought and sold a couple of times since then.
Yeah. So.
Go ahead, Syntax. Unload. I already did while reading it.
I really wish that there was a really good rant for this, but it...
At this point, the stupid just physically hurts too much.
It does. It's the same thing that we've been yelling at. You know, it's like, okay, if this was something new, like, oh my god, open RDP on the internet, you know, if we've only known about this weird thing, like, for 6 months, then okay, cool. Like, they weren't early adopters, they freaked out, slapped their hand, move on. At this point, it's fucking criminal.
It's been like, a problem for, like, 17 years. When did Windows 2000 come out?
1999.
Oh, really? I thought it was in 2001.
I thought it was 99. I know it was either 99 or 2001.
I know it was not 2000 when it came out. I just, damn it.
Yeah.
Anyways, go on.
Yeah, so this has literally been an issue the entire millennium. You know, at this point,
there's nothing for it. The stupid just hurts that much, too much.
Yeah. It's criminal. Like, honestly, like, I don't want to be that guy, but if I think if you're a big company and you have a major breach, like that one from the last four or five shows,
Equifax,
yeah, and all of the ones on every
Panama
show,
Papers,
yeah,
I mean, at this point you have to be more specific because it happens every day.
Yeah. Any breach like this, like, no longer just be like, oh,
I think Macy's,
man, that sucks. Macy's again?
I think Macy's web portal got hacked. I saw the article this morning.
Oh, that's amazing. But yeah, it's like, don't just look at them and go, wow, that sucks. Like, start throwing fucking admins in jail.
Windows 2000 was released February 17th in the year 2000.
What? Okay.
I call bullshit.
Well, obviously I've slipped universes at some point, and
yeah.
I must be from the Berenstain universe, not the Berenstain universe.
To clarify that, I mean, throw the admins in that in prison if they've proven to do something negligent.
Nine times out of ten, it's the executives telling the admins, what? No, fuck, you don't have time to fix that. I'm not spending the money on something. Just make it work. I don't care how you make it work. Just make it fucking work. Go away.
Have you ever sat there and done the mental visions of what a conventional war would look like with countries, say America versus China, and just think about the citizens that are going to be sitting behind keyboards doing the most heinous shit on these networks. You know what I mean? It's not just going to be the big military and shit like that. It's going to be the small hackers like we saw in the Syrian conflict in the beginning.
I like what Cycros just posted. Throw the execs in jail who made the admins turn off all the security because it was too hard.
Yeah. I mean, someone, and I guess admin really isn't correct, but start throwing some fucker in jail. Like, grab their CISO, shake the shit out of him, yell at him for a bit, and tell him to go stand in the corner for 3 to 5 years about what he's done.
Eventually, doing IT correctly is going to be like doing accounting correctly. If you do accounting wrong, it's fraud and somebody goes to jail, a la Enron.
Yes.
Yeah.
Eventually, IT is going to get there. It's just going to take a bit because at the rate we're going, it will be criminal not to do this right because you absolutely will still have hacks and breaches where somebody has managed to do some impressive work and get into a system or do the social engineering work. But right now, and it is a bit of victim blaming, right? But you're doing the equivalent of leaving your new Lexus unlocked, parked under the overpass down in the bad part of town. When somebody gets with the keys on the dash. And when somebody steals it, then acting all surprised and panicked.
The Lexus. No one's taking that piece of shit.
Okay, bad example. I was just thinking, what's an expensive car? I didn't think, what's a good car? You're right. Fair enough. But I just...
Bentley? You want to go with a Bentley?
Yeah.
We already know that who's going to be stealing it.
A Mercedes.
Dude, I want to go and leave a Zonda in the hood.
I don't think anybody would know what it is.
With the keys? Exactly, because no one's going to know how to fucking start it to steal it. They're going to have to strip it down on the side of the road. because it's a 7-speed manual.
Yeah, which would happen, especially where I live. Like, you would leave, you would get your cup of coffee, you would go back to be like, I wonder if anyone's messed my car. And there would be a drivetrain. Or bits of a drivetrain and like flakes of carbon.
I like how much effort we're putting into picking apart my bad analogy rather than talking. Whatever. Anyway,
I think this is what we were talking about last week at the end of the show. We got to stop going this far down. Let's back it up.
Fortnite story? You guys ready to do the Fortnite story?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Let's see. That's the thing in Hacker News. Who sent me the Fortnite story? You sent me that, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah. I forgot to note that.
He was from ours, I think.
Yeah, that's it. So this one's just, I mean, it's comical. The attack's not anything new, but it is comical. Fix my show notes here. Thanks. Syntax. There we go. Rash of Fortnite cheaters infected by malware that breaks HTTPS encryption. This is from Ars Technica. Tens of thousands of Fortnite players have... The fact that there's that many of them fucking cheating is sad, too. Tens of thousands of Fortnite players have been infected by malware that hijacks a web session so it can inject fraudulent ads into every website a user visits. With an executive... executive with a game streaming service said Monday... Rainway CEO Andrew Simpson said in a blog post that the company engineers first detected mass infections last week when server logs reported hundreds of thousands of errors. The engineers soon discovered that the errors were the result of ads that somehow were injected into user traffic. Rainway uses a technique known as whitelisting that permits customers to connect only to approved URLs. The addresses hosting the fraudulent addresses hosted on the adtelligent.com and springserve.com domains, along with unauthorized JavaScript that accompanied them, made it clear the traffic was generated by malware infected a large number of game players using the Rainway service. Rainway is a cloud-based service that lets people play PC games remotely, similar to PlayStation Now. Oh, gee, so this is just people who've been playing remotely through this Rainway. Oh, is that how Fortnite's doing, like, the mobile gaming?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Sweet. As the errors kept... Go ahead.
I think this is also how you can... how they're able to kind of have, like, console and mobile and PC all... playing together.
Well, that kind of makes sense. You know, that you just run the game engine off on a remote service and everybody's just using a thin client. Back to mainframes, people! Anyways, let's see. As the errors kept flowing in, we took a glance at what was, you know, what these users had in common, Samson wrote. They didn't share any hardware, their ISPs were different, and all their systems were up to date. However, one thing did stand out. They played Fortnite. I don't know why I'm doing that. I'm having too much fun. It could be the fact that I've drank a lot of bourbon. Suspecting that the malware was spread by one of the countless Fortnite cheating hacks available online that promised to give users an unfair advantage over other players, Rainway researchers downloaded hundreds of the hacks and scoured them for references to the rogue URLs. The researchers eventually found one Samson declined to name that promised to allow users to generate free in-game currency called V-Bucks. It also promised users access to an aim bot, which automatically aims the player's gun at opponents without any need for precision by the player. When the researchers ran the app in a virtual machine, they discovered that it installed a self-signed root certificate that could perform a man-in-the-middle attack on every encrypted website the user visited. Samson wrote, "Now that the adware began altering the pages of all websites or all web requests to add in tags for AdTelligent, and voila, we found the source of the problem. Now what?" Rainway researchers reported the rogue malware to the unnamed service provider that hosted it. The service provider removed the malware and reported that it had been downloaded 78,000 times. Damn.
I want to say they should do nothing. If you're fucking aimbotting, you deserve to have your credit card, your checking account, and your savings account drained by some Asian fucking hooker.
Spot the Fortnite player, people.
It's going to be kids, dude. It's going to be like fucking, you know, 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds.
No, it's not. They don't play Fortnite. Most of them are 40-year-old dudes in their basement. And 14-year-olds.
Well, after their parents' accounts get busted and robbed, maybe they'll beat Timmy for cheating.
I mean, if I had kids and I caught them cheating in online games, I mean, they'd be getting the belt. I mean, that's yeah. Paddling.
Yeah.
Just, you'd be the kind of dad who'd grab the mic going, yeah, my boy just fucking hacked the game. Yep. Okay, I'm going to open the mic up and you can hear him scream as I beat him senseless with the belt. Okay, justice will be served here.
Well, now it depends. Did they write the hack themselves?
That's taking them out for beer and ice cream.
Absolutely. No, if they developed the cheat on their own, that's one thing. If they just went and got one off the internet, no, we're not raising no skitties.
Yeah, when my youngest did some really interesting hackery things to get her sister's login information, like, that was you shouldn't do that again.
Here's the ice cream.
high five, that was really awesome.
So,
this is the reason we aren't parents. Well,
there's all the...
Why speak for yourself? I am.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's why I clarified. Three to one.
Mine's getting ready to go to college.
Jesus, dude, you make me feel old.
Right?
In all, the malware generated 381,000 errors in Rainway's logs. The researchers also reported the abuse to AdTelligent and Springverse. Samson said that Springverse helped to identify the abusive ads and remove them from its platform. In an email sent a day after this post went live, AdTelligent VP of Marketing Nicholas Riquedo said the company pulled the ads as soon as it received notification that they were being used in a malware campaign. We never tolerate any kind of fraudulent activities, and we provide a number of third-party scoring solutions to make sure any suspicious activities never take place, Riquedo wrote. Officials from the Epic Games, the makers of Fortnite, declined to comment. Right now, you know those two marketing companies were fucking thrilled to hear that it was a malware campaign, because then they went, what? We don't have to pay for all those ads? Fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know this. I mean, the moment, and of course, that's what happens with all these ad companies. The moment they even suspect that you're cheating or gaming or doing something to get the ads out there or using malware, you're not getting paid. That's it. Game over. Your account's done, and any views you would have gotten, any money you would have earned, too bad, that's forfeit. They love being able to do that because they've already got their product out the door, right? They've already shown the ads.
Yeah.
You know, they don't care if they don't have to pay for it, especially if they have an excuse. I'm not defending, I'm not saying the malware guys should have gotten paid, by the way. I'm just saying the ad companies love hearing about this stuff, so never hesitate to report suspected malware to the ad companies. They love that because then they don't have to pay for shit. Samson also said that Rainway implemented a defense known as certificate pinning. Certificate pinning binds a specific certificate to a given domain in order to prevent browsers from trusting fraudulent TLS certificates that are self-signed. What does Rainway pinning it have anything to do? Because they're not going to be the only ones. Anyways. Rash of infections is the latest cautionary tale about the risks of installing shady software provided by unknown sources. People who suspect they may have been infected should install antivirus protection from a name brand provider and thoroughly scan their systems ASAP. So, yeah.
And again, like, I, you know, the stories tonight have very much a, hey, you know, 2001 called and they want all of their security back.
Like, not wrong.
Like, honestly, like, certificate pinning is not new. And it really should be done.
All right. Well, let's move on to something. let's move on to something from a little bit before 1991. Why don't we talk about 1984? Walmart patents audio surveillance tool to monitor employee conversations.
Only employee.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. They patented it.
Yep.
So wait, you know, that means that we can, like, pull the patents and we can
actually see what it is. Yeah.
And
see how to fuck
it. Yeah.
With it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you just need to figure out what transmission the rate or what frequency the radio is on. So you can just go in there and say, I think we should form a union on every channel. It's like, hey, what happens to Walmart? They keep closing. I don't understand.
I might have one of the radios in my closet still.
Yeah,
Madman, I know you did the Walmart thing for a while. Do you still put on the shirt, walk around in there, so when people ask for help, you're like, no, I don't work here, go away?
God, no, but I still get stopped to ask how to fix a fucking problem.
Oh,
that's when you go, I don't work here, I don't know.
I don't know.
I've had to do that to a couple of old jobs. They just keep calling, and it's like, hey, yeah, we're having this problem again. Can you help us? Nope.
I'm waiting for somebody to call me up. So, do you remember the accommodation to the safe? We can't get into it.
I remember that, and my consulting fee is.
Exactly. See, that's why because I started a consultancy back in the early 2000s, and I've never closed it. Like, there are some years that we make $0 and you just put in your taxes that you made $0. Whatever, it's fine. So then the first time an ex job calls you, you can bill them for it because you are actually in business.
I like that.
It stops those calls real fast.
Yep. My rate is $150 an hour plus travel expenses.
I'm like, that's cheap. $500 an hour. Fuck you.
I'm actually hoping to actually get paid. Because it's like, yeah, no, minimum of 40 hours and $150 an hour. It's like, what are you doing? I'm buying a MacBook after this? Why? So I can just show how wasteful it fucking is.
Right, so that I can throw it out the window and there's one less MacBook in the world.
Oh, dude, do you see all the shit with your keyboards?
No.
Apparently the latest version of the MacBook, the scissor switches that are supposed to be quieter and better and I don't know, whatever bullshit they put on the Macs, right? Yeah, they fail, like, really fast.
Of course they do.
Like, to the point that Apple actually had to admit something was wrong with it fairly quickly of the new release, because and it's like, we all know that Apple never admits fault when they can help it, so...
Yeah, I think they've had one security patch in the last year. They've had other patches, but they've just been patches.
Yep.
They're not security patches, because Macs don't get viruses.
I like that.
Weren't we talking about Walmart?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
They have patented eavesdropping system.
All right. This is from splinternews.com. Retail colossus Walmart just patented a new technology meant to monitor employee productivity via audio surveillance of checkout counters. The technology, which Walmart calls listening to the front end, aims to increase employee efficiency by using sensors to monitor sounds that can indicate how long lines are, how many bags are being used, and most unnervingly, conversations among employees or between employees and customers. Unlike competitor Amazon, Walmart has the burden of a physical retail store, which costs more money than Amazon's largely automated warehouse and delivery systems. So it's unsurprising that they're looking to squeeze as much productivity out of their workers as possible. Right now, this is just a patent, and it's unknown whether Walmart will ever develop it. But it shows that Walmart is following in Amazon's footsteps when it comes to finding new and inventive methods of invasive employee surveillance. When asked for comment, Walmart told BuzzFeed News, "We're always thinking about new concepts and ways that will help us further enhance how we serve customers, but we don't have any further details to share on the patents at this time." Based on the application, Walmart's patent, so this is a quote from BuzzFeed, Walmart's patented surveillance system would use a series of sensors in the cashier area to collect audio data. Everything from beeps to rustling noises to conversations between guests and an employee stationed at the terminal. It would then analyze this information and use it to calculate various performance metrics of the employee. I'm sorry, you're talking too much. Please prepare for your electric shock.
So by sensors, do they mean microphones?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, because yeah. that
I mean,
is
they could be
a...
peso units. I mean,
yeah, okay.
That would work in single party consent states. There are some that aren't that.
But they just have to put a little sign on the door.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't dispute I've got pretty good hearing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How the fuck am I going to tell how many plastic bags are being used by audio? You know what I mean?
Do I have specific frequency of the plastic separating and just have a computer count it?
Yep. Coming from a very specific section or from a specific direction. Yeah, you can... Yeah,
most
you can definitely
train. But isn't there someone... Isn't there someone standing there bagging it?
Yep. Oh, not at Walmart.
The bags?
The cashier's bagging it.
Yeah.
Or the bag individual runs out, if it's the self-scans.
Yeah, when the bag runs out, well, you're going to have someone there at the self-scan, like, just to make sure that people aren't stealing shit. When the bag runs out, put new bags on. You don't need to invest in tech like this. This is not a problem that needs to be solved.
Yeah, but see, to someone as big as Walmart, you know, you got to think, what? Okay, a pack of 100 plastic bags is going to cost you 10 cents or whatever, you know, it costs. But over their entire network, that has got to be a lot of money. And they're looking to shave, you know, money wherever they can because they are horrible, horrible.
Well, they just did that here, Syntax. Single-use plastic bags have been outlawed straight wide.
Oh,
but
nice.
You have to buy a reusable bag from the supermarket that no longer gives you the free bags under the guise of environment. So trolley thefts are up 50%.
Well, see, out here they have these geofenced mag-locking wheels on the shopping carts.
What happens when the battery runs out?
That is crazy.
Yeah.
We have those too, but it's nothing that a small hammer doesn't fix.
Yeah, that's probably
battery powered drill and or wire cutters. I mean,
yeah.
Anyways, actually, it read like they were trying to get the lines to go down faster, because I do know that's one of the big reasons people don't like going on Walmart, is you end up standing in line for 20 minutes waiting just to pay for your shit, right? So,
yeah.
That's why you go to Walmart at 3 in the morning, for several reasons. One, lines are shorter. Two, there's people like you, and then there's the rest of the insane people.
Yes,
and it's like
I like how he separated me from the rest of the insane.
Yeah, because I don't think I'm insane.
Anyways, I did that at I went back and visited my parents for 4th of July, right? And I happened to go in Walmart during church hours. Dude, I've never been in a Walmart where you're in years. It's been since I've been into a Walmart where you can actually go down the aisles and get what you need and not see another soul. It was amazing. I loved it.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. We've gone so far down this hole, we could be Taiwanese soccer players at this point.
Moving on. Next article is from The Verge. Microsoft is updating the Notepad app for the first time in years.
Why? It works. Stop fucking with it.
It doesn't give you ads. It needs to give you ads.
No, Madman, no.
Did someone find an exploit? Please tell me someone found like an exploit, like a core.
No, they're putting new features in.
Oh,
ads. God. Like I said, called it.
Fucking why?
Microsoft is giving its Notepad app for Windows a surprising amount of new features. While the software giant hasn't updated Notepad for years, the next Windows 10 update will include some highly requested additions. Microsoft is clearly listening to Windows 10 users who use Notepad for development, logs. Who the fuck does development in Notepad?
No one.
I have.
Oh, well, I mean, in a pinch, well, get but out. I mean, not on my regular, not when you're doing regular work.
Well, yeah, no.
I mean, we've all banged out some HTML and Notepad just to fix a problem, but I mean, come on.
Or PHP. I've
okay,
done
or PHP. Fair enough. But
yeah, you just like Notepad +++.
Yeah, it's free.
Yeah.
So, anyways,
and good.
Actually, I tend to use Sublime Text. I actually paid for it. That's got all kinds of shit in there.
Oh, I'll have to look that up.
Yep. Of course, you know, and then there's things like Atom and Visual Studio Code, although I don't really recommend that one. It's slow. They're
oh,
both
God,
slow.
It's going to do word wrap.
You'll soon be able to do wrap around, find, and replace, alongside the ability to zoom into text by holding down the control key and using the mouse wheel to zoom in and out. Microsoft is also adding in extended line editings or line ending support, so that Unix and Linux line endings and Macintosh line endings are supported in Notepad. Well, that's a good feature right there.
That's actually useful.
It's going to support Linux line endings. Thank God. The status bar will now be enabled by default in Notepad and includes the ability to display line and column numbers when word wrap is enabled. Microsoft is also finally adding in control backspace support to delete previous Word in Notepad and performance improvements for large files. You can now even search for words on Bing through Notepad simply by right-clicking on them to get a new option. You win, Madman. There's your ads. Microsoft's Notepad editions follow the company. It's updating Windows console for the first time in 20 years. Updating its Windows console for the first time in 20 years.
Wait, what?
What's Oh, they're updating CMD.
Writing.
They're also updating CMD.
Okay, wait. Last I heard, the CMD was not going to get any more updates because they were going to push everything to PowerShell.
It's not what it says.
I guess.
The new Notepad features will appear in the update currently codenamed Redstone 5, which is expected to debut later this year.
Hold on. You skipped something. I said, yeah, they're going to update console for the first time in 20 years. And the surprise addition of the Linux command line to Windows 10.
Wait, oh. Yeah, but that's been there for a while. You can install Bash. Microsoft is reaching out to this. Yeah, that's from March of two years ago.
But it's... I didn't... Oh, they're doing that weird integration.
Yeah, it's where you can go install the Linux or the Linux user kit and then install Ubuntu through the store or whatever it is. The new Notepad features will appear in an update currently codenamed Breadstone 5, which is expected to debut later this year. Microsoft is now putting the finishing touches on the next major Windows 10 update, but won't include popular tabs features for File Explorer or other apps. So, neat, I guess. I don't know. I just, whatever, man. Like I said, we keep the number of Windows installs in the house to a minimum. Where I do have them, they're wrapped up in virtual machines where they can't hurt anybody. Well, that's not entirely true. My main gaming rig is a Windows box. And the broadcast box is currently a Windows box, but we're going to be redoing that here pretty soon. I'm actually going to see if I can use a little Tinker board to run at least the broadcast part of the broadcast box, if not the broadcast and the soundboard. I know it won't work with the sound cards I'm currently using, so I've got to figure that out. But, they're updating Notepad. So, I'm at least I'll have the Unix line knitting, so that's handy.
Yeah. So the stuff that they're doing to the console is interesting. They're adding colors.
Not fucking needed.
Okay.
That's basically all I can.
Yeah.
It's on console.
What do you think, Madman? I know you're a heavy Notepad user.
Gay. I pull up Notepad when I don't have anything, when I don't have a scrap of paper to write something on, and I copy paste a code from something onto it. The file exists for 5 fucking seconds.
I currently have 4 Notepads on my desktop.
I use one for the show notes. I'm just laughing my ass off about how insulted he was when I said that.
Hey, wait. Wait a minute. So, updates went out a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
I have Notepad open now. So if I hit, what did it say? Control?
No. This is going to be in the creators update.
Or something like that. Well, crap.
Yeah, this will be in the fall or winter creators updates or whatever they call them when they, you know, rework Windows because fuck you, we need to reset your taskbar and reinstall all the bullshit.
Oh my god. Okay, so the console update, they're literally just making the colors brighter.
Crack is whack.
Let's move on to this. Alright, I've got a couple things for you tonight in Digital Dojo. The first is interesting. It's an Android app called Krypton. And what this guy does, I have not had a chance to play with this yet, but I do have a YouTube video that'll accompany it, and I'll post that in a minute. It lets you use your smartphone as either a U2F token or as a SSH key agent. And so you can get kind of the multi-factor, the little phone push pops up and says, hey, somebody's trying to use your SSH key, is it you? Or somebody's trying to use your U2F token, is it you? On your phone, as opposed to having to actually have a separate machine to be SSH agent or like a U2F token, like a little USB thing. So I thought it was pretty interesting. But the guys over at Level 1 Linux, they were modding a PC for somebody and hacked up a single board computer, put Android on it, and then put this app on it with a touchscreen in the front of the case so that they have all the SSH keys on a separate machine inside the same case with a touchscreen on it, so you can say, yes, I confirm that I am actually signing into something. But I get a kick out of the fact that it's an SSH key agent. I think that's kind of cool.
That is really interesting.
Because it lets you keep, I mean, it lets you keep all your SSH keys on your phone, right? You probably want to back them up in case you lose your phone and if the thing gets stolen or dies or something. But it's a cool concept. And the app is free for personal use. They've got a version they sell for companies, I think. But
Will it still let you do SSH with the free version?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, the personal version has got U2F, SSH, and apparently Git. The PGP keys for doing Git stuff.
Okay.
But, yeah, I thought it was cool. And apparently it takes advantage of either the key store or the secure enclave, depending on whether or not you threw it on Android or iOS. So that's cool. And if you got, like, an old Android tablet or something laying around, something where you're not going to take it with you and you're not as concerned about, you know, if you only work from, like, a single workstation, you don't have a laptop or something, you could do something like what they did in the level one text video that I threw in the chat there as a HookTube link because fuck YouTube and their ads. You know, where they actually embedded it in a machine, which seemed like overkill to do it with the SBC and a touchscreen add-on kit for it, whereas it's just like, just go get like an Amazon Kindle Fire and put a new ROM on it. They're like $40.
Yeah.
And now you've got a physical store for your SSH keys.
I see something really fun. So you take an old phone,
uh-huh.
You know, an old Android phone or whatever, right?
Just whatever you got. Yeah, like you got an old iPod Touch or something. I'd probably do it.
Yeah, pull the SIM card. So the only way that it can contact the network would be through Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Turn your Wi-Fi off. So that way, like you know, you're locked down at that point because it's always going to look for this. This two-factor,
yeah,
right?
There's literally no way for it to communicate to anything except over your serial or USB link, however you've hooked it up.
Yeah, and it's so your key store is air-gapped, you know, or if you're, you know, working remotely or you're working on a different machine, something like that, you can just then connect it to the local Wi-Fi or NSF or whatever, you know, Bluetooth. I don't care. Like shrinks your attack vector.
It's a very interesting app, and I haven't really had a chance to play with it, which is why I'm linking the YouTube video in the show notes. But it's just like I love the concept, and I think you could do a lot with this, especially because it does U2F.
God damn it.
What?
Why do websites always go immune to insert scary thing here? So they say immune to phishing. Nothing is
this is because they bring in marketing people and don't let engineers write their own copy because an engineer is going to be too fucking honest.
Because most hackers will look at that and be like, challenge accepted.
What do you mean I can't get in there?
Yeah.
You mean there's not someone stupid enough to click on this? You haven't met people, have you? I've met people. People are fucking retarded.
Yeah, or you call the person and go, hey, so there's a thing that's going to pop up on your phone. I need you to hit yes. We're just running a test. Don't worry. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever.
Well, there's a couple of those that run around. I heard this. It was on another show I watched where they were telling the story about it, so I don't remember the exact story, but apparently the guy was in a bar and drinking. And he got a call from his bank, and his bank said, hey, we're doing a bunch of testing. You're going to get a verification code on your phone. Can you read that to me? Okay, the guy gets his text. He reads it to him. Okay, yeah, that's great. Okay, we're doing one more. You're going to get another one. Okay. Yeah, he gets home and finds out they signed him up for some, like, online service pay thing, and the second one was them draining his bank account.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Wow. It's not bad.
I've literally used that in a campaign. Like,
awesome.
Yeah, because people are dumb. People are bad.
You
can tell people not to do something, and 10 minutes later, you go and you do it, and they'll just do it because they're dumb.
I have a webcomic I like to send around at work where it's some guy sitting at a computer, looking, he's calling help desk and going, "Hey, you know the thing you guys told me not to do and not to click on? Guess what I just did?" And it's captioned, "The guy the hackers count on." I mean, it's just like, "Yep,
true,
true story."
Yeah.
So
we love that guy.
Yeah, everybody loves that guy. And the final thing I have for you in Digital Dojo tonight, Laser sent me this, but he said it's courtesy of Epix, and that is the murder mystery hacking sim Hacknet is free for 24 hours on the Humble Bundle store. This is an old article. It's actually on Steam right now. It's free through, like, Monday. So if you listen to the show late, sorry about your luck. But right now it's a hacking simulator game. I've not tried to play it. I have no idea how accurate it is, but I've been told it was good. So we've got the wrong article in the show notes, but hey, whatever. It's a game with real hacking. Yeah, sure it is. Where's the part where you Google for 20 minutes to find the interpreter module you need, or you don't have to sit there and read through the fucking Ruby code?
Yeah. Yeah, again, you're going to be just copying and pasting things into your new notepad. and yelling because you can't find the quote or the semicolon that's in the wrong fucking place. Yeah, in that little, PHP section. Yeah.
Where's the part where you call the secretary pretending to be the new employee and you can't get in? I mean... Anyways.
Just sifting through the Rapid 7 modules.
Yeah.
Because someone needs to go through and index Metasploit's modules.
Where's the part where every security vendor on the planet calls you all day long because somebody decided that they needed to tag you on their LinkedIn, and now every fucking vendor has your phone number and will not stop calling you incessantly? I'm sorry, I get like 20 phone calls a day. It's getting a little odd. I might be bitter. Madman, closing thoughts. Let's get out of here. Madman, closing thoughts.
So that daughter that was going to college, was she a hot chick?
God damn it!
Hey, that means somebody's carded her, dude.
All right, are you closing thoughts?
I had something and now it's gone. Fuck you, Madman. Fuck you.
All right, Syntax, what do you got? Closing thoughts.
So in future news, and I wrote this in Notepad actually before the Notepad story even. so in future news, Pure Decking decides to do a dry show. And no one drinks, and we never get off topic once.
Crack is whack.
Oh,
I don't want to deal with you fuckers sober.
That's it?
That's it.
That was it.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the freaking frogs gay.
What do you mean you believe in frogs?
Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site, the subreddit, and the IRC. Tonight in the IRC, we have me, Sardonic, Psychros, Fake Syntax, Iron Angel, and Madman. This just in, the moon is a CIA conspiracy theory. That's all I have for tonight. I'm hitting the Pac-Man sound now.
Believe in the moon?